Hey guys, welcome back to Journey Footballers Podcast. This is season 2, episode 6, and today we have special guest Adam Chani on with us. If you could just tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got to where you are in your career today, and why you started playing soccer.
For sure, yeah, definitely. Well, as you guys know, my name is Adam Chani. I'm 20 years old, and I'm going into my sophomore year of college soccer. And why did I get to college soccer, or how did I get to college soccer? Honestly, if I can put it in one word, perseverance. You know, just keep going, no matter what happens. And yeah, I'm just really excited for this upcoming season. I've been working a lot this summer, and most importantly, really excited to be on this podcast.
Sweet, man. So let's just take a trip back to memory lane and just go through your career so far since when you started playing to now.
Yeah, sounds good for sure. Well, I would say, I mean, I've been kicking a ball around since maybe 4 or 5 years old, but didn't play on a competitive team, on a serious team, up until the age of about 15. Okay. That was when I moved to Florida.
Okay, so and where were you living between, you know, when you got born and 15?
Well, a lot of places, actually. But I'll go through it real quickly. I was born in New York. I grew up in Queens up until the age of 10. And before that, actually, in 2006, I lived in Colombia for a year, went back to New York. And when I was about 11 years old, my family decided to move to Morocco, up in North Africa. That's where my dad is from. So I lived in Morocco for 4 years.
Okay.
And when I was 11, up to the age of around 14, 15 years old. And within that time, I had moved all the time to different schools. So I did play soccer throughout my time in Morocco, but it wasn't as competitive, as serious as it was.
Was it like football with your friends?
Sometimes, but I was on a team. It was an organized team, just not as serious as I would say when I came to Florida. But in those 4 years that I was in Morocco, I was bouncing around a lot of different middle schools. And I also moved to England in 2014. I tried to go there and try and live a life there, try to start, a new life there with some family that I had from my dad's side. But immigration and visa, it didn't all work out. So that's when my family decided in 2015 to move to Florida, back to the States. And instead of New York, we came to Florida. And that's when I registered myself or my family, I should say, put me in a club called the ACYS Spirit United. And I would say that was my very first competitive, serious club and team where I would train, you know, 4 or 5 times a week and
awesome.
Games on the weekend.
So like before that, like when you were moving around all those different countries, did you kind of have in mind that you wanted to, you know, make a career out of football, or were you just kind of playing for like fun and enjoyed the game?
It was more of 100% just fun and enjoying the game. You know, every kid, I believe, always has that thought come to their head of, yeah, it would be awesome to go pro. It would be nice to become a professional soccer player. But that wasn't a goal of mine at the time. I just, you know, was enjoying the game. You know, I didn't train individually up until the age of 15. And all those other years, it's just, you know, just playing in the streets with friends or playing with that team of mine for middle school where we would probably train once or twice a week and games like maybe twice a month. So it wasn't as serious. It was just for fun. And I would say I made the decision of, you know, I want to become a professional soccer player when I moved to Florida. Literally, I still remember the first day we moved. I got a ball, I got some cones, and the next day I got my very first training session in, and that's when I decided
that's
I want
awesome.
To go pro.
So you got on the club at 15. So how was your, I guess, career from then on? Like, I know, like, we've talked about this, but, I mean, not everyone else knows about this. So can you just take us through from, you know, where you got, you moved to Florida and had your first club, and then how you basically got to where you're at now?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So the club was called ACYS, Spirit United, and it was very serious, very serious. We trained four times a week, Monday to Thursday. Friday was off, and Saturday or Sunday we would have a game, and the other day of the weekend we would have a rest. So it was pretty much soccer 6 days a week. Even though it was 4 days with my club team, I would also train on that Friday with a coach, a one-on-one coach. And it honestly, it was an investment financially from my family. You know, it was a little bit of sacrifice that way, financially, a little bit of sacrifice driving, because the drive was about 50 minutes, almost to an hour away from my house. So I would have to do that every single day, four times a week. At first, I didn't have a car, so my mom and my dad would take me over to practice every night, or sometimes I would get a ride with friends. Yeah, it wasn't easy for my parents, especially. You know, for me, the transition from going from not training four times a week with a team and very serious club to now being in that environment, I think was a transition that was not really hard for me, because I already had the mentality of that's it, I want to go pro, I want to put in the work. And luckily I was with a serious team, so that worked out. And yeah, I just started, you know, working really hard with my club.
So after playing with ACYS, right, that's the name of the club, after playing with them, is that when you went to college, or did you do something in between that gap?
So I started in 2015. This was my sophomore year. And actually, before moving to Florida, I had already completed my sophomore year. Like, when I was like halfway done, because we had traveled, we moved to Florida in February. So I went to Lake Mary High School when I got here in Lake Mary, Florida. And I remember getting good grades all the way through, and I technically passed, even though I was in between like four different schools in my sophomore year of high school. But I made the decision of repeating the year, because although I passed all my classes, I knew that I really didn't learn a lot that year. So I had repeated the year, and that is when I went to Dr. Phillips High School. So I was in between my high school team and also in between my club team, which was ACYS. And Dr. Phillips High School, I was playing JV my sophomore year and my junior year, and which was tough, you know, being a junior playing on the JV team. You know, everybody knows you get made fun of a lot, but I didn't take that to heart. I ignored that, continued working hard, and finally my senior year I made varsity. But yeah, I was in between my high school and my club team throughout my high school years. And you asked me what happened after that. So I had graduated from Dr. Phillips High School in 2018, May of 2018. And I made the decision that, you know what, college soccer, I don't want to do college soccer. I want to go pro. I want to go to Europe. I want to do it. I don't know how, but I'm going to make it work. And pretty much I made that decision. So my dad, he was living in Morocco at the time, and he still lives there now. So I moved to Morocco with my dad for 6 months. As soon as I graduated, I went like the beginning of June. I was there over the whole summer, over the whole fall as well, all the way up until December. During that time, I was just training on my own and also with a fourth division team there. And I was playing games, training on my own, getting ready for Europe, any opportunity that would come. And later find out that my dad has an old friend of his that lives in Ferney in France, right next to the border of Switzerland. So we called him and we asked him if I could go over and, you know, I want to play soccer there. He told me, yeah, no problem. You can come over. Just know that I don't have any connections with soccer, so don't expect me to help you in that aspect. And I told him, no problem. I'll do all the work. Just give me a room in your house and I'll do everything else. And he said, no problem. So that's exactly what I did. Before I left, I created a CV, a resume, which all soccer players should have. So I created a resume, printed out about 20 copies, had it in my backpack, flew over to Switzerland, And I literally the next day I borrowed his bike and I biked around all over Geneva, which is a city in Switzerland, really close to the border of France. And yeah, I just went door to door, club to club, asking for a tryout, all in French as well. And I learned French when I was in Morocco for those 4 years, so that it just worked out that French was the language that I had to be, that I had to speak. And luckily, I learned it in Morocco. I never thought I would ever need to use it, but it ended up that I did need to use it. So I literally went club to club asking for tryouts. I went to about 12 clubs, and out of the 12 clubs, only two of them gave me a tryout, and I had to choose between the two. So I went with Merin FC in Merin, Geneva. And they're a fourth division professional team. But the first team was, you know, professional. These guys are getting paid. They're on contracts. So obviously I didn't play for that team, especially coming out of high school. I was not at the level. So I played for the third team is the team that I played for. And it was still a really good level.
Awesome.
You know, I was playing with guys that are 24, 25 years old, and it was a great experience. So that's what I did after club and after high school.
That's awesome, man. I mean, that's a crazy story you have. Like,
it is. It was honestly a leap of faith because I did not know what I was getting myself into. I literally, my dad's friend said, "Yeah, you can come over," and I said, "All right, let's do it." And it was honestly an impulsive decision, but a decision that later worked out for me when I did want to make the transition into college.
For everyone listening, like, Adam's a great example of just going out and getting it done. Like, you heard him, he literally went door to door at clubs and just asked. So, like, there's no excuse if you're listening to this and you're hesitant about, like, reaching out to a club or something because you don't know if you're good enough, just do it. Like, you never know what can happen.
Yeah, and that goes the same with anything in life. Like, you don't want to sit there pondering about, you know, oh, am I going to start this business and not, am I going to, I don't know, go ask this girl out, and am I going to go reach out to these clubs? Like, just do it. Like, just take action and do it, and, you know, it'll eventually work out for you.
Yeah, honestly, that Nike slogan of just do it is probably the best quote out there, because you're going to regret not doing things, and you literally just have to go and do it. I had no friends. I did not know one person in Geneva, but like I said, door to door, CV after CV, rejection after rejection. All you need is that one coach to see something in you.
Yeah, you only need one yes. All right,
exactly.
Moving on a little bit. So obviously you had that stint in Europe, which was great. You learned a lot there. But now you're playing college soccer. So can you just give our listeners a little bit of insight into how you got recruited and what the recruitment process is like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So when I was in Switzerland, first of all, just to give a little bit of context, even though I have an American passport, I'm American, I'm only allowed 3 months there. So the season was 6 months, and I was not going to be able to stay there unless I did something about it. So pretty much I just signed some paperwork, making believe that I need a job and this and that, which extended that time, and I was able to stay there for the 6 months. But after going through that problem, that situation, I decided that, look, Europe, you either need two things. You either need a European passport so that you don't have any visa problems, or you need to sign a professional contract where the club is going to give you paperwork. I was not European, nor did I have any family that was European, so that wasn't a possibility. And number two, I was not, and maybe I'm going to be honest with myself, I'm still not at the level to play professional in Europe where a club is going to take care of my paperwork. So none of those two options were available for me, or still are available for me for now. So that's why I made the decision, look, Europe is not for me right now. Let's go back to the States. Let's play college soccer, and let me start that way. So I decided to play college soccer when there were four games left in my season, and I had not recorded any of my games.
Wow.
And that is honestly the biggest mistake I have ever made, honestly, in my whole soccer career, is not recording those. What it was like, we had played 10 games and there were four games left. So I had a lot of games where I played really well, defensively, offensively, and I didn't have that to show. So I had to act quick. And one of my teammates, I asked him, look, I asked my whole team, can anybody find someone, any of your friends? Because again, I don't have any friends here. My only friends, the only people I know is my team. So I asked my entire team, look, guys, I just need a cameraman. I'll pay them 20 francs, which is about $24, $25 per game. Just let them call them and I'll pay them. Just record my games. And if one of my teammates had a friend who was down to do it. He recorded all four games. As soon as those four games were over, I put them all together. I edited it up and I created a highlight video. I already had a CV, but I knew that I needed a highlight video for two reasons. Number one, I'm playing in Europe and I'm far away. I cannot come over I can't go over to the States to go to an ID camp or anything like that. You need a highlight video. So that was the biggest reason why I needed a highlight video. So I got those games, recorded it, edited it, and put it all together. Now I have my highlight video. Now I have my CV, and this is where the hard work came in. Literally, I got every single Division I email in the entire country. I got all the Division II emails that are about like 40K or under because I was considering scholarship and everything. So I got, it was about 500 to 600 emails. And I went one by one emailing. Out of the 500 or 600 emails, they were all Division I and Division II mixed. I emailed them my highlight, my CV, and then an email. Hi, my name is Adam Chani. I'm 19 years old. At the time, I was 19. Oh, right? Yeah, 19. I'm 20. Okay. Right now, I'm 20. So I'll be turning 21 in July.
Birthday's coming up.
Coming up, nice. Yes, sir. And yeah, so I emailed one by one, asking all the coaches for an opportunity. Out of the 500 to 600 emails, probably half got
That's
back.
That's pretty
to
good.
Me. So let's say about 250, right? But when I say got back to me, most of them were, "Hey, come to our ID
camp,
come
to our
ID
camp." That's so annoying.
Some of them had actual exactly. So I'm gonna give you just to give perspective to whoever's listening. So 500 to 600 emails is what I sent. And in return, I got 250 emails, right? Okay. Out of those 250, I replied back again and asking for more interest. Out of the 250, about I would say maybe 20, about 20 out of the 250 got back to me again, asking for more information, my GPA, my SAT, you know, just asking more about me. I got back to them again, and out of the 20, I had, I think, nine schools that had made me an offer with scholarship, a few without scholarship. And yeah, so, I mean, out of the 500 to 600, that's nine crazy. Offers. So that just goes to show that the more emails you send, the more chances, the more opportunities you're going to get. And out of the nine, one of them was Division I, which is Coastal Carolina. Didn't work out. That would have been really cool, but yeah, it didn't work out. And so I had to make a decision. I think it was between Seton Hill University in Pennsylvania or Wheeling University in West Virginia. And in the end, after considering scholarship, after considering the team and all the other aspects of consideration, I ended up choosing Wheeling University. And at the end of the day, I don't think it's a good thing for people to ponder and think, oh, if I had done this, what would have happened? At the end of the day, whatever decision you make, you're never going to know what comes out of the other decision. So I ended up going with Wheeling. It was a great decision because I was an impact player. They needed a right back, and that's the position I filled. Coming in as a freshman, I got 1,300 minutes, which is a lot for a freshman. And I learned so much from my teammates, from my coach, from the whole program. And it was just an amazing experience playing for Wheeling and especially playing all those minutes for my first year.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. So if you just, for all our viewers listening who maybe want to play college soccer, and I mean, you guys just heard how difficult it actually is to, you know, reach out to these coaches and get answers and feedback and show them that you have the time and commitment to, you know, put in the work, because actually emailing these coaches, it does take a lot out of you. It's a challenge. It takes
a lot of time.
It does.
So like
it does. And you're being my like my mind at times would literally go numb by going. This was the procedure. I have a list of all the universities, so I literally do. For example, Wheeling University men's soccer. Enter in Google. Then I find the first link. Boom. Click on the roster. Boom. Scroll down to the coach. Boom. Copy the email. Yeah. Boom. Put it in the Excel sheet. Next school. And I do it repeat. And my finger. The world and just zone into that. And so it's not easy, but I mean, if you want something, you're going to have to make it happen one way or another.
Yeah, that is facts. For our listeners who are looking to go into college soccer, what's like one piece of advice you would give to them? Or if they're like an incoming freshman, what's something that you would tell them?
Perseverance. No matter what happened, keeps going. You get injured, no problem. Rehab, keep going. Now, luckily, you know, knock on wood, I have never been injured.
Oh, wow, you're a lucky man.
I'm very lucky on that aspect. And I mean, what I'm trying to say is whether you're injured, whether you get rejections, whether whatever happens, whether you don't make that team, then it doesn't matter. Keep going. Like, I've been through a lot of rejection, you know, not making the varsity team of my high school, not making the A team for my club team, getting 10 rejections when I was in Switzerland, finally getting those two opportunities. But I've passed through rejection after rejection after rejection. But what differentiates me is I keep going. So I would just say continue going, keep going. Don't overthink. Just do, and get things done. But most importantly, just
couldn't agree more, bro. I love that that mentality.
Yeah. That about wraps up the podcast. Adam, thank you so much for coming on. I hope our viewers learned something from you. You've had an amazing career, and you really dropped some knowledge for them today. So thank you for that.
No, thank you guys. Honestly, I really enjoy talking about topics like this. And I honestly think, you know, anybody can play college soccer. You just have to have, well, event. Let me take that back. I can't say anybody can. But to play college soccer, I should say, obviously you have to be at the level, number one. Number two, you need to act like a professional. Even though you may not be a professional, I'm not a professional, but I act like a professional. What does that mean? That means I have my CV ready. I have my highlight video ready. I have everything ready. In the off season, I'm always fit and ready. Maybe a team could call me at any moment and say, hey, come train with us or any opportunity may come. I'm ready. I'm fit. I'm sharp technically. So I'm always have to be ready. So act like a professional. And a lot of players, you know, every now and then I may get a message, you know, hey, how do I play college soccer, this and that. The moment I tell them, all right, you need a highlight video, you need a CV, you need to do this, you need to do that, that's when the numbers of replies that get back to me and say, oh, you know what, I'm going to do that, that's when that number goes right down. And you just, if you want to play college, you need to act like a professional.
Yeah, like and it's not just the soccer aspect. You need to have the grades, and you also need to have, you know, the connections. You need to reach out to people. And like you did, you know, get all the emails and stuff like that. Like, you got to put the work in that as well as the soccer aspect.
Yeah. Off and on the field work.
Definitely. So thank you once again. Guys, we'll put all of his stuff in the description below. Please check out his channel, his Instagram, his YouTube, and all other platforms he has. And thank you, Adam, once again. And we'll see you guys on the next one.